take your Bibles, if you would, because that is the basis of what we believe. It serves as the basis of not only what we believe, but how we practice what we believe, the Word of God. We believe it is the Word of God. Amen. If you don't have a copy, please look in front of you. There in the pew in front of you, there are copies of God's Word. And if you'll find your way to the book of Ecclesiastes, we only have a few more weeks left in this book entitled Ecclesiastes. And Solomon certainly has laid it on heavy, and he has been steady, and he has confronted, I think, many of the notions that we have about what produces satisfaction in life. Solomon turns the corner in the last part of his writing to really confront some issues involving the wisdom and the foolishness of men that I think that we all need to hear. It's sometimes hard to receive straight talk, and we don't get enough of it. In our age of political correctness, it's refreshing to hear someone like Solomon shoot straight and be honest and confront us and to approach us in a way that I think we all at times need to be confronted with. In fact, somebody, and that somebody being Solomon, has said the emperor has no clothes, you know? It's important that somebody does that occasionally, says, he doesn't have any clothes on. Something's wrong. And over in the book of Ecclesiastes, Solomon has confronted some of these realities. He's been straightforward, a great dose of reality. We live in a world in which people say, get real. But when you get real, they don't really like it. T.S. Eliot was correct when he said that we humans cannot bear very much reality. We don't really like that. It's just something about life we're uncomfortable with when somebody says what needs to be said. And that is Solomon. He's not pulling any punches in this passage of Scripture. He's simply saying this is the portrait of a fool. This is the person. This is the characteristics of that person who doesn't heed what God has to say and certainly doesn't even care what men have to say to him. He's straightforward, he's honest, and yet if you listen to the words of Solomon, these are life-changing words. Four times in these verses alone, he refers to the fool. What I want to call dumb and dumber. There's someone who's dumb, and then there's someone who's dumber, who goes beyond what just, you know, everyone. I mean, what are they doing? What are they doing? Living a fool's life. Verse 12. The words of a wise man's mouth are gracious, but the lips of a fool will swallow up himself. Foolish person. Let's look first of all at the foolish person's inner workings. And while Solomon doesn't talk about it in these verses, we can look into the Old Testament and discover what the Bible says about those who are foolish. In fact, in Psalm 14, in verse 1, there are a number of notes that you have there for you. They're in your bulletin, and you can jot some other notes with this. But Psalm 14, in verse 1, it says, the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. They are corrupt, but they have done abominable works. There is none that do good. He has said in his heart, there's no God. That's the first person that you know that is foolish. They look around and they can't even take what common sense offers them, certainly what natural revelation declares, and that is, there is a God. Last Sunday night we had a great study, and as we heard through a video, Dr. Ball talk about creation and the greatness of God in creation. And I was just amazed. I didn't understand half of what he was saying, because it was up here. But the one thing I understood him to be saying, because the Bible affirms it certainly, is that there is a God, and we can look all around us and discover through creation itself that there is a God, and yet the fool says in his heart, there is no God. There is no God. He said, well, why would you be declaring a message like that within the church? Well, what about the person who says that there is a God and yet lives as though there is no God? What practically is the difference between that person who says there is no God and someone who says there is, but I live as though he does not exist? Very difficult, isn't it, to live our lives day by day with God at the center of our life, with the Lord Jesus Christ, who is seeking to lead us and guide us, and certainly all of wisdom is crying out to us, and God is trying to speak to us through his Word. fool's inner workings. He says that there is no God. And he walks in deceit. In Proverbs 14 and verse 8, the Bible says, the wisdom of the prudent is to understand his way, but the folly of fools is deceit. The fool just lives in his own lies, deceives himself. The fool says, you know, everything's okay, but it's not okay. And one poor decision after the next is made. And they continue to live as though everything is, well, it's just fine. Everything is just fine. The fool is deceitful, living. They lie to themselves. It's bad enough that they would lie to someone else, but that they lie to themselves, the Bible says. Fools make a mock at sin. That's another characteristic of a foolish person. He laughs or she laughs at sin. You know, can I just get on a soapbox here? This is the pulpit, not a soapbox, but nonetheless, I'm gonna stay here for just a moment. We in the church have become very comfortable at laughing at sin. We watch television programs that laugh at sin. We just laugh at sin. The foolishness of what other people are doing, the acts of sin, it's not just simply a joke. It's one thing to laugh at a joke, right? And I'm so grateful for people who know how to tell a clean joke. Some of y'all are capable of doing that. And yet we find the humor today that we see on television and we see in the movies is just, well, it's terrible. It's terrible. Yet we laugh at it. We laugh at sin. We laugh when other people's lives are being destroyed in the process. We laugh at those things. And somehow we think, well, it's okay. And yet the Bible says that's foolish. We mock at sin. That's the foolish person, when a person mocks and laughs at sin. And then there's something else here. In Proverbs 15 and verse 21, the foolish person treats sin as though it's just a fun thing to do. It's okay. Folly is joy to him that is destitute of wisdom. It's joy. They just have a good old time reveling in it. It's a foolish person. But a man of understanding walks uprightly. You know, some of our high-mindedness and self-righteousness, and we think, well, we don't do any of those things. And yeah, when you begin to look at what we see, what we watch, and the things that we laugh at, we better be very careful. Who is Solomon talking about? Dumb and dumber. Someone who is foolish indeed. But now let's get into the text of what he's writing in chapter 10. Because this indicates the fool's outer living. Not only his inner living, but his outer living. He seems to have a big mouth. Verse 12. The words of a wise man's mouth are gracious, but the lips of a fool will swallow him up. Just goes on and on and on and on. This person is sort of a talking head, you know? And the things that they say, they entrap themselves with the very words that they speak. Just has a big mouth. It's not just that they're loud and unruly. It's just going to go on and on and on. The longer they talk, it seems like the crazier they become. They say a lot of nothing. There's no wisdom in the words that they speak, because there certainly is no wisdom in the way that they live their life. When they speak, and sometimes when they speak, you see it in their anger, you see it in their and how volatile that they are. When they begin to speak, it's like nuclear fallout takes place. Fool doesn't take into consideration what he or she is saying. And in the end, they sink their own ship. They just don't know when to shut up. Be quiet. Maybe take in what other people have to say. Now, the words of the wise man is gracious, right? That's what he says. But the contrast is the contrast between someone who is wise and someone who is foolish. And here he's simply shooting straight about the foolish person who just doesn't know when to be quiet. But there's another characteristic of the foolish person here in verse 14. He has no regard for future consequences in his life. A fool also is full of words. A man cannot tell what shall be and what shall be after him. Who can tell him? In other words, this is the kind of person, when you try to talk to him, it's in one ear and out the other. You ever live like that? Are you living like that? Do you know someone like that? You ever try to give advice to someone who really doesn't even care what you have to say? Now, not all teenagers are like this, but some can be, you understand, as well as adults. It's like, blah, 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 blah. You all right? That's it. They just look at you with that look in their eyes. Some of them even say it. They're just tired. They don't want to hear what you have to say. A foolish person doesn't really care. No advice, no response. They just don't care. And when you try to tell them that if you continue to live like you're living, it's going to end up in this way, they don't really want to hear that. Because they have no regard for the future and the consequences of their present decisions. They just don't know. You know, on YouTube, and YouTube is there's by the way, there's GodTube as well. You might consider GodTube. There's some great videos on there. But YouTube is a place where people post, for you adults, they post about anything that they want to do, okay? It's sort of an anything goes type of website. But on YouTube, you have these people who do stupid things for attention. I don't know if you've seen that. They've even featured this on television before. I mean, teenagers as well as adults, but mainly teenagers who will do things like run and jump through the window of a car. How do you advise that person? I mean, what can you say to that person? What do you say to a person who gets on top of their house and they have like an inflatable type of ball, you know, a ball thing, and they jump off their house and they hit that thing and it launches them out into who knows where, you know? What do you say to people like that? If you do that, you're going to hurt yourself. You can't tell someone like that anything. They already got it figured out. There's some people like that. When you try to talk to them, they don't really care about the consequences. They're going to do what they're going to do, regardless of what you have to say. Now, you have to be careful at times like that to even speak to someone who's foolish, because they don't want to listen to you. But there's some people, and not just teenagers, they're adults. You can't hardly tell them a thing. You can't hardly say, listen, if you don't give your life to Christ, I'm telling you, it's going to be a bad deal. If you don't give your heart to Jesus, it's going to end up bad. You understand that? Not because I say it, but because God's Word declares it. You need to give your life to Jesus, okay? No. Listen, God has a special exemption plan for people like me. See, we can hang on to the very end of life, and then right there at the very end, we can make this profession of faith that we can believe in Jesus, and we'll just turn our life over at the very end. Oh, really? Is that how it's going to work out? It's not going to work out that way. God's gracious enough to reveal to you your need for Him. And when you deny God's grace in your life, do you expect God to continue to extend His grace to you? A foolish person won't hear of it. They just won't listen to it. You offer up advice to them. You tell them what's going to happen. If you persist in this life and you continue in this way, it's going to be a bad deal. Don't do it. Listen, ladies and gentlemen, stop flirting around with some things that you shouldn't be flirting around with. Be careful. You're going to burn yourself badly, and you're going to burn other people in the process. Do you hear what wisdom is trying to say to you? A foolish person doesn't. A foolish person says, you know, I'm just going to blindly run into whatever it is, and I'm going to keep doing what I'm doing, and I don't really care what anybody has to say. You continue that road, you will hurt yourself, and you will hurt other people. You say, I'm not hurting anybody but myself. That's not true. Not true. Don't think for a moment what you've done in isolation doesn't affect other people. Don't think what you've done for a moment doesn't affect the lives of other people. You know, when Adam and Eve, when they reached out and they took that fruit off the tree and they ate of it, don't you think that's affected us until this very day? One decision. They didn't hear the wisdom of God, didn't obey the wisdom of God, and what happened? The consequences are huge, not only for Adam and Eve, but for the rest of us. And here we are, thousands of years later, experiencing the result of what they did when they blew it. Yes, what you're doing will affect other people as well as your own life. Now, if it doesn't help for you to understand that it's going to affect you, then maybe you ought to consider the people around you. Maybe you ought to look around and look at your wife who's been so faithful to you, or your husband has been so faithful to you, and look around and say, you know something? It's not the best situation right now, but they've been good to me. I need to be faithful to them. The before you make some bad decisions and throw yourself along with your family and other people around you into a tailspin. Be careful. Be careful. Notice in verse 15, there's some other characteristics of the foolish person indeed that we want to look at. This person has no direction in their life. Verse 15, the labor of the foolish, they weary every one of them because he knows not how to go to the city. This person doesn't even know how to read the map, right? Now, I know some of you people are directionally challenged, right? I mean, it's tough. You don't know north from south, east from west. You know, when we first moved here, everything is a little cattywampus, and it's a little hard to figure that thing out. But you know, Joe Lander used to say, anytime I'm whatever direction I'm driving north, okay? That's what he'd tell me, right? He'd say that. And maybe you are directionally challenged, but come on, spiritually, we got to look at this and say, you know, a person who doesn't know where they're headed, where they're going, there's no direction in their life. There's something wrong. God has given you a spiritual GPS system. If you'll simply open it up, stop basing what you're doing in your life on feeling and start basing it upon faith. Start looking into God's Word, which is a foundation for the direction of your life. If you're not in God's Word, you are headed in the wrong direction. That's just the bottom line. That goes for any of us. If you're not in the Word of God, you're not going in the right direction. And the end result is that not only are you going to run off the road, you may hurt somebody in the process. And there's a lot of that that happens. There's a lot of that that goes on. The foolish person is just someone who doesn't have any direction in their life. And in the end, they serve a very pointless life. You don't know where you're headed, and so consequently, when you get there, you don't know if you're there. How do you achieve any sense of purpose in life when you don't know where you're headed, when you don't know where you're supposed to go? You see, the picture that Solomon is painting is a very straightforward, get real picture of someone who is living a fool's life, who is dumber than dumb, who simply moved beyond any scope of advice, any kind of godly counsel. They've removed themselves from any spiritual GPS system that God has implanted, not only in their spirit, but certainly in His Word. And they remove themselves from that place and they're saying, I'll just do it my way. My way. My way. And the end result is tragic. Now, he kicks it up a notch here, because in these following verses, what happens when the person that we're talking about, that he's talking about, what happens when this person becomes a leader? Notice what he says in verse 16, woe to thee, O land, when your king is a child and your princes eat in the morning. Well, what's wrong with that? What's wrong with having a little breakfast? That's not the point. He's pointing out something that we need to understand, a cultural point. You see, when the king made judgments, he usually made those judgments in the morning. He would awaken, he would prepare himself. The morning was a time for making judgments and being reasonable and considering what needed to be done. And so when someone, that as he's describing, when the leader takes his morning and it becomes just a thing of feasting and eating and partying and carrying on, what kind of leader is that person? What kind of leader is that person? It's bad enough for us to observe the life of someone who's foolish, but what happens when they become our senator? What happens when they become our representative? What happens when this kind of person becomes even the president of the United States? That could happen. I suggest we have more reason to pray at that point than what we've ever had. He's warning them, be careful. Now, this was Solomon. This was the king. Blessed art thou, O land, when thy king is the son of nobles and thy princes eat in due season. And find their strength for strength and not for drunkenness. It's not some big party for them all the time. This is the kind of person who takes advantage of others in the process of enjoying life. There's no wisdom in their leadership. There's no wisdom in the things that they do. And he's certainly talking about government, but this could be true of anything, of any kind of leadership position. Is it possible for someone who's foolish to actually become your boss? Yeah. He's already talked about that. Is it possible for someone who's foolish to become the head of a house? Yeah. We got men all the time that don't have a lick of sense. Excuse me. Am I being a little bit too blunt this morning? Get real, right? Here we are. So what do? Wives are trying to be patient and pray for their husbands when they're, you know, not doing what needs to be done. The fool can emerge to power. And in the process, wreak havoc upon the rest of those around him. First of all, we have, I think, a characteristic of someone who has lost their values, and as a result, they've lost their value. They've lost their values, and as a result, they've lost their value. You're in a position of leadership, and you've lost your sense of values, then you've lost your sense of value to your family, to your government, to whatever it may be. But then there's another characteristic here of this person. They emerge to power. Because in verse 18, by much slothfulness, the building decays, and through idleness of hands, a house drops through. In other words, they just sit there and they just let it, just the house fall apart. A foolish person does that, and a foolish leader does that. It just begins to disintegrate, begins to deteriorate. There's nothing to it. It's just being destroyed all along while the house is decaying, while the roof is leaking. They just look at it. And they go about their merry way doing their own thing because it's really not about the benefit of all. It's the benefit of themselves that they are most concerned about. It's really not about us. It's about me. Dumb and dumber. As decision makers, wow, what a place to be. Careless, they lose any ability to look at something and say, that needs to be done. Let's do it. Let's do it now. Let's take care of it now while we can take care of it. They said, well, how does all this apply to me? He said, be careful. Now, we're going to find a verse here that in light of everything that Solomon's written, check out verse 20. Let's unpack this verse because it seems like a little bit of a contradiction that he would even say this. But notice, curse not the king. Really? No, not in your thought, and curse not the rich in their bedchamber, for a bird of the air shall carry the voice, and that which has wings shall tell the matter. You heard that expression, a little bird told me. My grandmother used to tell me that all the time. And I really thought that as a kid. We got birds telling my grandmother things, because man, she knew what I was doing. Grandmothers and grandfathers have a way of, they just know what's going on. But she'd say that, little bird told me. I thought, whoa, we got bird problems here. Yeah, for me anyways, not for her. She seemed to be in the know. But the word gets back. What's Solomon talking about here? We need to maintain some respect for those who are in authority, even if they're not who we voted for. Well, I've had to do that. Even if they're not who we voted for. If they would do stupid things, foolish things. They're in a position of authority. And our prayer should be, Lord God, help them. Lord God, give them wisdom. Lord God, shake them up. Stir them. Lord, move in their life. We need to be talking with Jesus a lot about, you know, concerning their lives. Instead of just, you know, instead of just having our little conversations out in the hallway or wherever we are, and we're talking about the people that are ultimately, if they're in authority, God allowed them to be there, right? Because God, it doesn't just happen. It's not coincidental. He said, but I didn't vote for them. I know, but God still allowed them. Is it possible that someone like this could eventually be the president of the United States? Sure could. It may very well be that God would simply give us what's in our heart. Think about that one for a moment. We better be very careful. I think we may have more reason to pray for someone that we didn't vote for than for someone that we did vote for. And we need to be very careful who we vote for, right? And make sure that they do have the values. Make sure that we do pray for them as many of you are praying for our country even now. that we do ask God to move in the hearts of men and women who are serving Lord God, move in their life so that we don't end up in a situation like that. Because if we do, we had better fall to our knees more frequently. We might have a sign up next year, you know, depending on what happens in the election. We may have a sign up next year that says not just prayer and fasting on the day of your birth day, that or like for me would be the 17th, but we need to have multiple days of prayer and fasting. Oh, God, help us. We get somebody like that. We need to respect authority, realizing that all authority ultimately comes from God, and that God can use Eve, whatever, whoever it may be, for His purpose, for His end. In all of this, the emerging foolish person doesn't like to listen to what others have to say. They just don't want to hear. But when they become our leaders, wow, we are in a dangerous place. And it would do us better to pray than it would be simply to castigate these people that maybe we didn't vote for. So, what do you think? The emperor has no place. It's just exposed. It's raw. Where are you in your life today? Are you someone that others would consider to be wise? That they would actually seek out your advice? When was the last time somebody even asked you, what do you think? Are you someone who's foolish, that the decisions of your life, I mean, as you walk through life, decision after decision, just a bad deal. It goes from bad to worse. It gets worse. And it's just, listen, wake up. God is trying to get your attention, shake you up, and get you on the right track. If you refuse His direction in your life, what will happen is you'll end up somewhere, but it'll be nowhere. It won't be the place you imagine it to be. It will be something far different than you could ever imagine. Live the wise man's life. Be wise and not foolish. Father, as we stand before You today and we worship You, we realize that we come before the all-wise God. There's no one like You. Your word says in the book of James that if we lack wisdom, that we're to ask. And frankly, Lord, with some of the trials that people are going through today, we need wisdom. Lord, there are extreme circumstances, ongoing difficulties. There are trials. The intensity of those trials, Lord, are only growing. And so, Lord, there are those here today that they would welcome the mind of God in their matters. They would welcome, Lord, Your word. They would welcome the wisdom of heaven. They would welcome, Lord, what You would say through a friend. What You would say, Lord, through Your word. What You would say through, Lord, through the Holy Spirit. What You would say, Lord, to them. They would welcome that today. Lord, if wisdom is what they need, I pray, Father, that You would grant wisdom in the decisions of life, in the trials of life, in the difficulties that they face. Lord, if it's not wisdom that they need, and maybe it's the presence, ultimately, Your presence, they just simply need the comfort and the care of heaven. They're not looking for an answer, but they're just, Lord, they just need You in the midst of what they're going through. They're looking for that, Lord God. They're longing for You just to be God in their life. Lord God, You are an awesome God, and You alone are capable of doing, Lord, what needs to be done in caring for them. You are our refuge. You are our strength. You are our comforter. You are our fortress. You are all these things and so much more. I pray, Father, that You would be that and more for each of those who are just crying out to You for, Lord, for the presence of heaven in their life. Lord, there are those here today that they've recognized that They've made some foolish decisions. And I pray, Father, today that it would not be something that they continue in, that it would be something that they repent of and turn to You and seek the wisdom of heaven and seek the understanding that comes by walking with You and knowing who You are. That You would deliver them, Lord, from the foolishness of where they are. They recognize it with great repentance in their heart, Lord. They confess it to You today, that they need direction, they need wisdom. They want to do what's right. They want to do what's right before You and honor You in every aspect of their lives. Lord God, that You would just grant them that wisdom today. Turn their lives around. Lord, there are some here today that they've been walking with that foolish notion that one day they could get to heaven on their own, that somehow that you're going to let them into heaven just because they've been pretty good. And they recognize today that they're really not pretty good. And they're not good enough to get into heaven on their own strength, on their own goodness. That compared to You, Lord God, all of us, we stand so undeserving. We're not pretty good. We're not even, Lord, all of our righteousness is as filthy rags compared to You. There's nothing in us that could be presented to You that would represent some goodness in us that you would recognize as acceptable. We confess that to You today. Lord, some confessing it for the first time in their life that they need You. They need the goodness of God in their life to save them. Thank You, Lord, for the goodness that comes only from You. There is no one like You who can save us and change us. Lord, for those who need to be saved today, we pray, Father, that salvation would come to their hearts and that they would believe that only You can save them, and that You joyfully and You gladly will save them this day if they will believe. You long for that moment of encounter with them. And so, Lord, today I pray that they will embrace the salvation that You offer. For we pray it all in Jesus' name. Amen.